League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Everyone, we're back. It's AMMA. Happy Valentine's Day, Monty.
Ooh, we want to make out.
Yeah. Scoot all the shit off the table.
We can just
like Ricky does with his car with the hockey stick. Just
oh shit. That's why
I have stayed off social media completely today.
Why?
Because
you
all,
want to see all the pictures?
I do not want to see all your happiness.
You literally just saw Chad and Lauren announce that they're having a baby.
Yeah, that was cool. Good for them. But I knew that ahead of time. But all these couples, man, all these girls that I was like, oh, she ain't got a boyfriend. I might be in there. And now posting like roses and hearts and shit. Oh. And I'm like, where did this dude come from?
Rough.
Like, come on, man.
Tough Valentine's Day 2019 for Slim.
Yeah. My ex, who I blocked on everything, emailed me last night. Listen to this. This is spicy.
I already know which ex you're talking about.
Listen to this. This is spicy. She said, I'm currently dying of kidney stones. I'm pretty sure I'm panicking and trying to call you for help because I kept getting calls from a no caller ID number.
Okay.
And says, but yeah, so if I die, just know you're not a good friend.
Mm.
P.S. I'm not being dramatic. I can't move from my bed and I don't know what to do. So here's my response.
Call through an email? You emailed her back?
Yeah, I said, Carrie, I would suggest contacting emergency services if your pain persists. I'm not sure what you need from me as far as your ailment goes. I would suggest drinking a good amount of water as that is what a friendly medical professional suggested to me. Because I was on the Xbox with Dylan as I was typing that. Oh, wild. So, yeah, fuck your Valentine.
You didn't introduce yourself.
I did. I said I'm Slim.
No, you didn't.
Oh, well, I'm Slim.
It's your boy.
Single with a dollar sign.
Monty back at him. I'll fucking pull up on you with my level 51 Articuno and blast you in your fucking face. I don't care if you're a fire Pokemon.
Yeah, but don't you catch him at level
You already 50. Know where I come from, where the Slims aren't nice and they don't play fair.
Ooh. Didn't you catch him at level 50, though?
Yeah. All
right.
But I got him up to 51.
Nice. Progress. Improvements. Yeah, you've been nonstop playing that blue version.
Yeah, nobody wants it. Come and get it.
Get that work. Wish they had online back then. Like,
oh, wow.
Battling.
That would be next level.
Dude, people on the meta, like online, like in the more recent games, just brutal. Like, unfair.
Mm.
Wild.
Ouch.
You need to get that Pokemon Let's Go, though.
Next game I'm getting is.
It's basically just what you're playing now. You're getting what?
The Division.
Are you?
Yeah.
I've been on the fence about it.
Definitely getting the Division.
The first one was ass.
But the second one's going to be way better.
Maybe. They have a Battle Royale mode that seems to look okay. What about Anthem? You getting an Anthem?
Negative.
I played it. It just felt like a weak Destiny with flying.
Yeah, that's exactly what it looked like.
That's what the demo felt like. But I don't know. If everyone gets it, I might get it. I'll be a sheep in the video game world. I'm still playing Apex.
Yeah.
Got some dubs.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm still debating it. Like, I'm really on the fence. I do want to try
it. It's free!
I know. No, I already have it downloaded.
Oh, okay.
It's already ready to go. I just,
No one else plays it?
I haven't hit it start. Not now. Even my homies are playing it. Like, John invited me the other day, and it's just...
It's fun as fuck. It's hard. You gotta learn.
I know, it looks hard.
But once you get it... Like, dude, I was playing with this dude. All right, so, weird story. I'm playing with randoms this morning. It was, like, noon. And, so the one dude... He's got a mic, so I'm like, okay, cool. I put my mic on. I'm talking to him, and the other dude stayed silent, but he just kept getting all these kills. So he randomly hops on, and he sounded like kind of slow. Like that's all he does is play video games, but he was running shit. And he just kept going, all right, guys, here's what you got to do. See, when you have this type of it, and you're just like breaking shit down that we already knew, and I was just like, oh, okay, whatever, dude. But he at the end of the game, he got 11 kills. I got none.
Wow.
And the other dude got like one or two. But so then. Like,
so in the end, you should have listened to him.
So near the end, You just hear someone like that had a very similar voice to him, kind of like grab the mic and go, "Oh, how many people are in this party?" And he's like, "Dad, stop! Stop it, Dad! I'm not playing. These guys are gonna lose." And I was like, "Yo, what the hell?" And he goes, "Hey, how many people are in here right now?" And he's like, "There's only two in there." He's like, "Okay. So, how many of you guys have dads, like your real biological dad?" I mean, they'll do like me, like they're in our lives and shit, like, you know, whatever. And he goes, "All right, well, you see this right here, this is my stepson." And then shit started going to hell. Like, we all started dying. We got ambushed. And the dude's just losing his shit. Like, Dad, we're going to lose. Dad, I'm going to play. And it was just like, yo, what?
Wow.
When we all died, me and the other dude backed out because we had been playing a few other games together. And we were just like, what the fuck was that? But they had the same sounding voice. And I was like, is this like multiple personality disorder? Like, what the fuck is this? It was so weird.
Wow.
So, yeah, the randoms are out there.
Oh, man. That's amazing.
Because you can only do a three-man squad. You can't play by – well, you can play by yourself, but you're matched up with two other people no matter what.
Right.
So, it's interesting.
That story was way better than I thought I was going to be some.
Dude, I was freaked out. I'm just sitting there like – I'm dead, and I'm just sitting there like listening like, what the fuck?
Amazing.
Like – stepdad just walked in, just hey, just grabbed the headset off his head.
What the fuck?
It was strange. Anyway,
wow.
If you listened to our episode Sunday, we had James Neff on, and we had to cut it short. The owner of the house needed some time to do whatever on the computer, which I was unaware of when we first started recording. So,
you know, we record in a studio that's owned by a pizza boy named Bob and a guy who's known throughout the community as a guy who works at the gas station.
Not anymore. He's changed his reputation.
Yeah, he got away from the customers.
Got out of there. We all make it out eventually, don't we?
Wow.
Yeah, but Sean had shit to do, so we had to cut it short. We did our quick interview with James, and that was really fun. I was off my game. I'm back on it today.
Good.
I was not so garbage. I was not feeling well Sunday. You were watching a fucking basketball game playing Pokemon while trying to talk.
And still did better than you.
Yeah, that's fair. All right. So so we didn't get to make our picks or for the fight coming up this weekend or give the rundown of UFC 234. And here we are. Now let's take it from the top.
Let's address something first, though, Slim, because you've been beefing with me.
I've been beefing.
Yeah. You're mad. All right, so...
Okay, yeah, so go ahead, explain.
Let's give a little background on the situation. Okay, so of course, UFC 234 had just happened. Everybody was so excited for the main event of the evening where Robert Whittaker was going to defend his title on his home turf in Australia.
Right.
Well, of course, the news broke a couple hours before the card was even about to start.
Right.
It was like, what time was it? Like 4 o'clock Eastern time or something like that?
Like in the morning or some shit.
Robert Whittaker had a freak injury where he had a hernia. Is that the best way? Mm-hmm. He had a hernia and needed emergency surgery to have it removed.
Because had he have gone through with the fight and gotten punched there, he could have
possibly killed him.
Bursted his colon.
Oh, my gosh. And apparently this had happened a while ago, and it's just been like...
a lingering thing that he had no clue was really there.
Until it just... I mean, what are the odds it inflames that bad the night of?
Dude, it's insane.
Wild, dude.
Robert Whittaker has had horrible luck fighting in Australia.
Absolutely. So that happens, and I'm looking at me and Slim's picks last week. We only had one different pick, and that was it. So I'm sitting here thinking, oh my God, me and Slim are going to have the same picks all night long. I can't do this. I need at least one. I need at least one. So I told Slim, I'm changing a pick. I'm picking one fight, and I'm changing it.
So you have that much of a problem disagreeing with or agreeing with me that you have to disagree on one thing.
Especially because you had the lead going into the week. Oh, I just couldn't do it. So I propose to you this, Slim.
Okay.
You can have one switcheroony the night of.
You said this last week. I don't need to. I make my picks at the time of recording and I stick with them.
If you say so. But it is available to you.
Okay. Thank you.
With that being said, we
Monty
move on.
Is a little, you know, oh, well, by the way, like third round, like, you know, I think I'm leading this way.
It has to be before the fight has started.
And you
and you can't have, it has to be before the walkouts. I mean, it has to be, actually, it needs to happen before the fucking fight card
you did it several fights before, I'll give you that. But I cheap shot.
whatever.
Cheap move. Especially because we got $100 on the line in only 4 months.
Well, you better use your switcheroony. It's available to you.
Fuck off. What is it, like phone a friend? Like, oh, Chad, what would you pick? Oh, I don't know, man. who's the better record?
Who's fighting?
All right. Anyway, from the bottom. First Friday night we had Woleji Buren going up against Jonathan Martinez.
Yeah, so this fight was
quite back and forth.
Yeah,
a lot of scrambles on the ground.
A good one to start off the night. But Jonathan Martinez, what a great performance by him. Just stronger. Just stronger than Woleji Buren, who is known for his strength in the bantamweight division.
Right.
I thought it was a great first win in the UFC for Jonathan Martinez. He got a unanimous decision victory, 30-27, 30-27, 29-28. A great performance for him.
I definitely had 30-27.
Me too. Moving on to the lightweight division.
Oh, and we both picked Martinez.
Yeah, so that moves Slim and Eyes. So last week we ended, just miserably. I was 11-14. Slim was 12-13. We were going through it last week. We didn't know if we even deserved to tell you guys who to pick in these fights anymore.
Right.
We were questioning our own existence.
Well,
but we came back strong this week.
Yes.
Don't doubt us.
Right.
So this moved Slim even 13-13. I moved up to 12-14. Moving on to the next fight in the lightweight division.
We had Callan Porter going up against the Tarantula.
Potter.
Going up against the Tarantula, Jalen Turner, moving back down to lightweight off his disappointing UFC debut loss to Vicente. Vicente. Jesus Christ.
You're awesome, dude. Don't you deny yourself, Slim. Don't you deny yourself love. You go, baby.
Why are we doing this on Valentine's Day? No. So Jalen Turner making short work of Potter, looking like a fucking superstar.
Yeah.
6'3 in the lightweight division. That's insane.
Only, I believe, 22, 23 years old?
Yeah.
Let me see. Let me confirm that real quick.
What a monster, dude.
23 years old.
Only took him 51 seconds.
Absolutely amazing performance by Jalen Turner. Like Slim said, under a minute for the knockout. Oh, wow. I mean, we called it, though. We knew Jalen Turner had what it took. It was just going to be a matter of time before he starts getting in a groove. Might have happened a little bit earlier than we thought.
I think so.
Especially, you know, we didn't know what he'd look like at 155.
Right.
But
Which is his natural
division. Yeah. He looks a lot better. He needs to stay at 155. No 170 for
absolutely
Jalen Turner.
No way. Maybe once he gets a little older and bigger and frame builds out. But
right.
For now, the Tarantula, the skinny man,
getting it done. That moves Slim up to 14-13. Yeah, go Woo, Slim. Winning. You're back in the winning bracket. Go Slim. And that moves me to 13-14. That was your early preliminary card.
Oh, sing it.
La. That was on UFC Fight Pass. Let's move on to the preliminary card on ESPN.
We had Yoshinobu Toruto Ishihara going up against Mr. Perfect, Hyung Ho Kang.
Oh, man.
This fight was a slugfest from the get-go.
Man.
Both fighters throwing with reckless abandon. Hyung Ho Kang, though, just happened to be a little more accurate, even though Toruto caught him early on in a wild counter exchange.
Round of the year candidate.
For sure.
Absolutely.
But it happened to be Hyung Ho Kang that pulled it off by submission in the first round.
Put Toruto to sleep. He didn't even tap out because he's a fucking gangster. Right. But Kyung Ho Kang is now 2-1 since he came back after a 3.5-year layoff. He now has 3 of his 4 UFC wins by stoppage. Toruto, man, 1-5 in his last 6 fights. He started out so hot. And
is that it for Toruto?
I don't know, man. He's 0-3 since he went down to the bantamweight division. And just not going well for my man, dude.
No. He just puts his chin out there and gets caught.
Yeah, he's just not a defensive fighter. He goes in there and he lays it all on the line, and it's just been hurting him a lot more than it's been helping him lately.
It's exciting.
It makes it exciting, but I hope they give him one more, but, you know.
We'll see.
If not, Toruto, it was a fun fucking run. You're still in my top 5 for sure.
Fun fucking run. Anyway.
That was a 3-minute and 59-second technical submission by rear naked choke for Kyung Ho Kang over my boy Tiruto Yashabo Ishihara. That moves me and Slim, moves me into evenness. That didn't make sense.
Evenness.
Or no, I'm sorry, we got that wrong. We both picked Tiruto. That was our one we got wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. So Slim goes back even 14 and 14, and I moved to 13 and 15. Fuck my life.
So you could say I was batting 500?
Ah, he got it. He got it. Yes. He knocked it out of the park. Slim's first home run.
He's batting 600 now?
Almost. Nice try, though. Kind of.
520? No. I don't know what that would be.
It'd just go down to like four. It'd go to like 480 or 90 something.
If I got another win?
Oh, if you got another win, it'd
like
go up to like
a home run? Like,
it'd go up to like five, stay in like the 500s or just go to like 510.
All right.
Five teens.
Five teens. He's about 15. Okay. Anyway, on to the flyweight division. We have Israel Adesanya's teammate, Kaikar France, going up against newcomer Raulian Paiva. Paiva.
Yeah, Raulian.
Raulian Paiva.
Yeah, so.
Bro, Kaikar France.
I mean, but dude.
No, Paiva looked great. Paiva is going to be back in the UFC, and I can't wait to see it. But Kaikar France just was a little tighter in the striking exchanges. Ended up coming out on top it more often than not. Mm-hmm. Paiva had great counters, though, and he fought with a lot of range.
Yeah. So, as I mentioned last week, Raulian Paiva, with that crazy win streak, has his 12-fight win streak snapped. That's the first decision loss of his career, and that shows the class of Kaikara France. He has had two amazing decision victories in the UFC so far, even though this one was a split decision victory. I think Paiva is going to beat a lot of people in the UFC.
Yeah, but let's hope.
I think this was a very high-class fight for as low as it was on this card. I think both of these guys are going to make a good name for themselves.
If the flyweight division stays around. No, I think Paiva could probably move up, but France would look so undersized to be in a weight.
I think flyweight's here to stay. So that moves Slim's record up to 15 and 14, moves me to 14 and 15. Go Slim. You're awesome.
Yeah, I'm on fire. In the next fight, we have
another Israel Adesanya teammate.
Yeah, Shane Young going up against the Golden Boy, Austin Arnett. This one was razor close.
Yes, this was a really good fight, dude. Austin Arnett's striking looked very crisp.
On point. He got out of the way every single time he was in danger, using good circling around the cage. And Shane Young just seemed to just plant his feet and swing, but it was working for him.
Yeah, he was the more active fighter, and at the end of the day, the more landed punches was the reason that he won the fight.
For sure.
But, dude, Austin Arnett's jab was looking great the entire fight.
He's so long.
Yeah, he was busting Shane Young up the entire time. Rough streak going right now here for Austin Arnett, though. He is now 1-3 in the UFC. 1-4 in his last five fights. Four of his six losses have been by decision. Just a rough little patch here for Austin Arnett. I'm really excited to see what Shane Young can keep doing here in the UFC. He got the unanimous decision victory. All three judges saw this one 30-27 in favor of Shane Young. Do you agree with that, Slim?
Maybe a 29-28.
Okay. Okay.
Because Shane definitely won the fight on that last exchange, dropped Arnett in like the final 2 seconds.
So you thought maybe in the second round it could have been Arnett?
Yeah, or
maybe
yeah, first round. For sure.
Which one it was?
Second, I believe.
Yeah, but Austin Arnett loses here to Shane Young, moves me and Slim's record. I'm 15 and 15. Slim is now 16 and 14.
Nice.
Which brings us to the lightweight division. Our boy,
Devontae Smith. King Cage.
Yeah.
You think it used to be King of the Cage and they made him change it?
I don't know. You asked me that last week. I don't know.
Going up against Dong Young Ma, formerly Dong Young Kim.
Yeah.
The maestro.
Not Stun Gun.
No.
The other one.
He got stunned in this one, though.
Jeez. Devontae.
He landed.
Devontae.
Dong Young Ma landed one strike.
Yeah.
On Devontae Smith.
I don't know if that's even true.
He
I don't know.
It was one of nine. Nine attempts. He landed one. And Devontae, though, all it took him was 19 shots to put Dong Young Ma down and pound him out with a... Oh wait, let me I'm going to pull up the clip. Go ahead, keep talking.
Devontae's striking is some of the best in the lightweight division. His power, he's definitely top five most powerful lightweights in the UFC right now. Just absolutely scary. The man is a blur. And when he is focused, he's going to put you down. and we haven't seen him unfocused yet. He goes in there. He knows the game plan. He pulls it off exactly how he wants to every single time. He dictates the fight. Devontae Smith is one of the best lightweight prospects coming up. I think he's going to get a top 15 fight. Who was it that he called out, Slim?
Jim Miller.
Who's run
not,
that.
Not in the top 15, but a legend. In the
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that would be a great fight because Jim Miller, you know, I mean, he's always been a top 15. He's been ranked a couple different times. So I think that would be a great fight for Devontae to kind of give himself a gauge. And I think that, especially with Jim Miller's grappling, you know, I don't know. Edit that out or something. So.
Jim Miller's grappling experience, yeah. Because he has one of the highest submission records in the lightweight division.
I'd be really interested to see Devontae going up against that.
Yeah, man. I'm trying to find this, but Jesus, it's Bleacher Report is on a roll. So far,
why don't you just Google it?
Here we go.
Oh, okay. Well, like always, 10 toes came in, hit him with the bing bing. He fell down. I said, let me stay patient because I feel like you're trying to wrestle me. So I hit him with the 3, came with the 2. I'm like, jab, 2, step back, under the arm. I see Herb D. I'm like, nah, we're going to keep going. Got to do your job, man. You got to stop me. You got to really get me off of him. And, yeah.
What a character. Oh, my God. Dude, Devontae Smith is a G.
That's that Cleveland shit. That's our boy, Devontae Smith.
That's that Cleveland shit. Literally.
2-0 in the UFC. Of course, both of them by just bone-rattling knockout.
Literally. Dude, against Jim Miller, though, that's a high-level competition.
Oh, absolutely. And that got our boy his first performance of the night bonus. 50 G's
Woo!
For Devontae Smith. I ain't broke no more. That's what's up, Devontae. Good shit.
Good for
3 minutes, 49 seconds for the knockout over Dong Hyun Ma. He is a problem lightweight division. Watch out.
Mm-hmm.
That moves Slim and I's record to 6. Well, I'm 16 and 15. Slim is 17 and 14. Just absolutely demolishing it. Slim, you're great.
Thank you.
Moving on to the main card.
We had Jimmy Crute going up against Smiling Sam Alvey, who tattooed a smiley face into the back of his head in his hairline.
Okay, you said that really weird. You said tattooed.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's not tattooed. He got a haircut of a smiley face.
So different.
Yeah.
So different.
He got a tattoo. His whole back of his head is.
And you said on his hairline. So you picture like a fucking smiley face right here, like on my forehead.
Oh, my God. It's like the, like what you see on like Jeep tire covers, like the big Walmart or the Kmart smiley face.
Right.
Jesus. All right. Anyway, Jimmy Crute coming in 6-0 again, Smiling Sam Alvey. Sam Alvey's first ever pay-per-view spot, whether it be on the prelims, on the main card, regardless, the first time he's ever been on a pay-per-view
after 40 plus career fights.
That's insane. And I don't know how many in the UFC, almost 20 I believe. Wild. But damn, so
17.
Yeah, so Sam getting a shot, might have been a little bit of an early stoppage, but Jimmy Crute is scary, dude.
Absolutely. I think it was an early stoppage, but dude, yeah, it wasn't gonna stop. Jim Crute was definitely handling that fight. He has now earned 7 of his 10 career victories by stoppage, including both of his UFC wins by knockout.
Right.
Sam Alvey, now 2-2 since he went up to light heavyweight in February. All 3 of his UFC stoppage losses are by knockout. Like I said, it was a really early stoppage. I mean, Alvey, like he was arguing, he had the thumbs up. I mean, maybe he should have gave a verbal.
I'm good.
Yeah, right. But, hey, you know. Sometimes it doesn't go your way. Sam Alvey defeated by Jim Crute. That was, time.
And that was a Mark Goddard stoppage, too. Yeah. He's usually better than that.
2 minutes and 49 seconds into the very first round. And Sam Alvey has previously complained that Mark Goddard has stopped his fights early before, so.
I can't get my jewel pod to fit in.
So weird, bro. What's happening?
On to the next fight.
This
is the one.
This is the one I switched, okay?
So, originally, we had both gone with Nadia Kassim, and she was fighting Montana De La Rosa, number 14. They obviously thought very highly of Kassim, and it just didn't go her way.
Nope.
She got taken down in both rounds, and, Montana De La Rosa is just a dog, man. She was the one that, what was it, like a month or so ago, someone tried to mug her, and she just beat his ass?
No, that was... Poliana Viana
Oh, was
from
it?
Brazil.
What? Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. The one that got beat up by Shevchenko?
Nope, that's Priscilla Cocheira.
Okay. All right. I'm way off. Jesus. Okay.
Where do you live? What world are you from?
Under a rock. Anyway, Nadia Kassem, we had both had high hopes for her. Monty went ahead and went with the betting favorite, De La Rosa, and that paid off. Like I said, she landed a takedown in both rounds and just appeared to have better control, a little more power, and yeah, man, got it done. Second round submission.
Yep, that's four submission victories in a row for her, three in the UFC. Montana De La Rosa just on an absolute tear when it comes to the ground game. You don't want to be on it with her. I mean,
no.
She has the upper hand in the flyweight division over most women.
True.
2 minutes, 37 seconds into the second round, Montana De La Rosa defeats Nadia Kassem via armbar, and that moves.
Yeah, Nadia, flexible as all hell. Almost got out of it several times.
So that evens me and Slim's record. Fuck yeah, brother. 18 and 15 each.
Whack. Going on to the next fight, we had Ronnie. Going up, I will never stop saying that when he fights. Going up against Ricky Simone, who is making quite a name for himself in the welterweight division. Or no, this isn't welterweight. This is featherweight, right?
Bantamweight.
Gotcha. Yeah, Ricky Simone wanted no part of the ground game with Yaya. Very smart move on his part. Right. But he was also able to take him down at will. What he would do, he would just dump him and make him stand right back up. Yaya oftentimes would fall down and just, you know,
try to sit there.
Yeah, come on in. Simone wanted none of that.
Nope.
And, yeah, he got a clear-cut decision victory.
Yeah, two judges had it 30-27. One judge had it 30-25, all in favor of Ricky Simone. Definitely 30-27. Hey, man, he was dropping him. He was controlling the fight. Mm-hmm. He was a more powerful fighter. Ricky Simone, great performance on the main card. You know, getting a good little push right here. I think he took advantage of it.
For sure.
So a couple facts on that one. Rani Yaya has suffered all four of his UFC losses by decision. He's now 11-4 career in the UFC. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. A couple of facts. Just one.
Eat my butt.
Going on to the next fight, the co-main event of the evening, which got bumped up all the way from the Fight Pass prelims.
Crazy! Crazy!
Dana White got the call and said, who do you want to be the new co-headliner? And he said, without a doubt, it's going to be Lando Venata, because have you ever seen him in a non-exciting fight? No!
Right.
Let's do it. So, Lando Venata, groovy, going up against Marcos Mariano, newcomer to the UFC. And man, Lando just... utter total domination.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. From the get-go, Lando was controlling the fight. Just the more skillful.
It smells like skillful in here. What is that?
We both just passed out.
Is something burning?
It smells like eggs.
You fought? It smells like skillful.
Definitely the more skillful fighter, Lando Venata, man. What a great performance. Scott, the Kimura... with 5 seconds left on the clock. Right. He heard that clack, 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 and he pulled it off.
Right.
Absolutely great performance by Lando Venata, defeating Marcos Rosa Mariano via Kimura 4 minutes, 55 seconds into the very first round. I also forgot to mention Montana De La Rosa got a performance of the night bonus.
Nice.
And I'll take that for 500, and...
whoa.
And... get your little fucking deck hearts
loud. No. Yo... can we talk about what I texted you the other day that I posted on Twitter?
Yeah, let's do it.
Fucking, so it was Saturday of the fight. I worked in the morning, and I wore, like, you know, we got to wear red on the weekends. So I had, like, this little jacket that I wore is red. And on the inside, like, the shirt I wore was my Korean Zombie shirt. It said, Korean Zombie, Chan Sung Jung on the front. But, like, my name badge was covered, and, like, you could barely see it. I just wore it just because, you know, it's fight night, you know, whatever. So this dude... then I'm kind of walking by, he just goes, ah, tough loss for him recently. I'm like, huh? You know fights? So, instantly.
He did not know what he was getting himself into.
Instantly befriended him. No, he was really engaging in the conversation and, you know, total knowledge of the sport. We talked about everything. Upcoming fights, past fights, what's going to happen here, what's going to happen there. No. I should have. Well, I mentioned it, but he like didn't seem interested in it, so he doesn't fuck with podcasts, I don't think. But yeah. So total conversation with this dude, and I texted you.
Total like, domination.
Yeah, yeah, no clue what he's talking about. I let him know. So I let you know that this happened. He goes, I bet. You said, I bet your dick was rock hard the entire time.
So true. It's
like, Jesus Christ.
You know. I was just picturing this man listening to you talk the entire time and him just like, God, I should have fucking never said anything.
Why did I say anything to this kid? Who is this? You work here, bro.
You're tripping. He like didn't even ask you or didn't even say anything to right. you. Like, you're just totally hallucinating.
Hey, how's it going? So here's what I think about the Silvabite. He's like, huh? Well, honestly, Israel, you know, he's just the man. I mean, that's honestly the thing. Dude, I don't know who you're talking about.
The last
about.
Style
you know,
better, that Rock Leash he did before the fight? How cool is that?
Yeah, you know, you ever watch Naruto, bro? In season 2, episode 5, I mean...
Start talking about Naruto.
Transition.
Dude just walks away, slowly.
Just following him, talking to his ear.
He does, like, the close-up of your mouth, like, fucking just in his ear, just spitting in his fucking earlobe. Nasty.
Jesus Christ. All right.
Which moves us on to the main event of the evening.
Who was the people's main event is now the main event.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So the first. Yeah. All right. And I spoke about this the night we watched the fights. This is the first time the UFC has had a. Now, mind you, it's by, you know. Random event, uncontrollable events. This is the first time the UFC has done a pay-per-view headliner that hasn't been a title shot since Conor fought Nate.
Right. That's crazy.
That's
how many
crazy
years? What is that, 3 years?
2 or 3, yeah.
Wow.
Crazy fact. So the UFC obviously relies on their champs to headline the pay-per-view cards. I don't know what the buy rates was on this. Dana said they were good. Remains to be seen. I mean, it did
almost 2.5 mil.
Stop.
Total gate, like money wise.
No. The crowd is sold out. I mean, pay per view buys.
Yeah, they made like 2 million, 2.5 million.
Buyers, like buy rates, like Conor and Conor Khabib did 2.5 million pay per view buys. Like Stipe and blah blah and Alistair Overeem only did like not even 200,000 buys. You know what I mean,
bro? I don't know. A live gate of 2,400,000.
I'm not talking about the people in attendance. I'm talking about the people like us who did not want to buy the pay-per-view, who bought it.
No, I'm telling you how much the live gate is.
Yeah.
How much, I don't know how many people bought it, but it says how much they made off of how many people bought it.
In person. In Australia. Refunding of tickets was offered and no one did. Everyone kept their tickets.
That's cool.
What I meant is what the people like us back home that, you know. Stop it. We drink you a mango moon. Anyway, Israel Adesanya, the last style bender, going up against the Spider Anderson Silva. This fight was much talked about for the last, 4 months, maybe, when it was announced.
Yeah.
And, dude, Israel delivered. But Anderson, I honestly thought Israel was going to walk through Anderson. He did not.
No, I thought it was going to be a first-round knockout. And
not even close to that.
No, dude, it was an absolutely technical, just brilliant fight. Mm. Beautiful to watch. If you thought it was boring, you don't watch fighting. You're stupid.
I was on the edge of my seat the whole time.
It was so fun to watch, dude. Israel, I mean, just did a little bit more. I mean, he was connecting more. He was definitely busting Anderson up a little bit. Had his eye pretty moused up. So, yeah. But it was just a great watch, dude. I mean, I loved it.
Yeah, Israel landed double the strikes that Anderson did.
Mm-hmm.
No takedowns, barely any clinch work. But man, this was one of the most technical fights I've probably ever seen.
Yeah, absolutely. And won both of them a fight of the night bonus, of course. So Silva's 14 fight night bonuses for UFC is now tied with Charles Oliveira for third, behind, of course, Donald Cowboy Cerrone, who's number one.
Wow.
And then Nate Diaz and Joe Lozon, who are both tied with 15 at number two.
And I believe Anderson Silva just broke the record for the most headlining spots. above Randy Couture.
I think he already had that broke. It's like 20 something, bro. Like 22 yeah. main events or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I believe it's 20.
It's fucking stupid.
Wild.
And then he has now suffered 3 of his 5 UFC losses by decision. He's 1-4 with 1 no contest, of course. In his last 6 UFC appearances, Israel Adesanya now has earned 3 of his 5 UFC victories by decision.
Yeah.
So he has those highlight reels, but not too many knockouts, like everybody thought.
But also, he fought 5 times with 5 wins in a calendar 364 days.
Wild. Wild.
Insane.
65, whatever.
It was...
Was it actually 364 days?
Yeah. Wow. One more day, and it was Sunday.
Wow!
Nuts.
Slim! Crazy!
Absolutely nuts.
Speaking of Sunday, while we're on topic, I am going to the Travis Scott concert on the 24th, so I won't be here that Sunday.
Is that next week?
Yeah.
No.
Something like that.
It's not this Sunday. It's next Sunday.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll do it Monday or something. Well, we can't do it this Sunday either, because the fight's on this Sunday.
We can do it like next...
We'll do it Monday or Tuesday. Tuesday, yeah, one or the other. Anyway,
because I'm not
going to
work Monday.
Expect delays in your normal scheduled programming of AMMA.
Yeah, Allie got me tickets for my birthday.
That's dope.
Going to Columbus this time.
I've seen you post about it. That's
so dope. Now I've seen him in Cincinnati, Columbus, Cleveland, all
you,
three.
You went to Cincy?
Yeah.
Damn.
For my birthday like 2 years ago.
Nice.
Saw him in Rihanna.
Ooh. Ooh.
And then I saw him in Miami too.
I saw him at Jacob's Pavilion.
That's lit.
It was tight.
It's lit!
It's lit! At the night show. Ooh.
Israel Adesanya now 16-0. His 16-fight MMA winning streak is longest among any UFC middleweight.
Right. Israel campaigning for the stripping of Robert Whittaker.
Yeah.
And for him and Gaslam to fight for the vacant belt, or at least an interim belt.
Mm-hmm.
And Whittaker can come back and challenge them for the real title. However... At the press conference, people were asking Dana, so are you going to strip Rob? And he said, no, it's freak injury, freak accident, whatever. And
they were
like, well, what about Tony? When he was supposed to fight Khabib, he tripped and tore an ACL. You stripped him. And he was like, well, he didn't have anything to say about that, which I thought was interesting because this is the same scenario.
A torn ACL and a hernia injury are a lot different, though.
Yeah, but he had emergency surgery.
But he's only going to be out for 2-3 months max. Tony Ferguson was out for...
Like
9 weeks,
yeah,
like almost like a full year, bro.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was kind of weird how he, but Kevin Gastelum. So we were watching him walk around the event and do interviews with a belt on his shoulder, and I was like, how did he get that? Did he tell Dana, hey, let me borrow this real
quick? You said he snuck into Robert Whittaker's room. You were on a roll Sunday,
right? Turns out he borrowed Henry Cejudo's belt.
Yeah,
in which Connor tweeted because apparently. Kelvin Gastelum had a staph infection. It was on his neck and it was on his lips. Kind of looked like a little herpaderp. But turns out it was a staph infection. The commission cleared him to fight because he was taking antibiotics and he was good. But nice. Connor tweeted, you better disinfect that belt.
Oh.
Funny. So yeah, Kelvin walking around with the belt. Israel did not like that. He said, get that shit out of there.
Yeah.
And that he should fight Kelvin for the vacant title.
Absolutely.
We'll see what happens.
If there is going to be a fight, then yeah, that's got to be it. But I say everybody just waits, chills out for a minute.
Yeah, I think Israel's going to take some time off. Like I said, 5 fights in 1 calendar year. That's a lot, especially winning every one.
Hey, why don't you let me hit your fucking jewel?
Okay.
Hey, buddy, why don't you let me tap that fucking jewel, you fucking jagoff?
Hey, better not smack your heart. I ran out of mango.
Oh, no!
Yeah, the Circle K by my house was like the last plug for mango. Bro, I went in there and I was like, oh, you guys got mango? Sick. Yeah, let me get one of those. And she was like, yeah, I guess no one else has them. People have been buying these by the sleeve. And I'm like, how much is a sleeve of Jewel Pods? $70.
Y'all buy it by the sleeve.
$70. $70 someone spent
my goodness.
On a pack of mango. That's gnarly. I wonder if it's cheaper that way.
Well, anyway. Yeah, that was me and Slim's rundown on UFC 234. Our final record on that one, Slim, we both ended 21-15. Good job, buddy. You only got 2 wrong the entire night. I got 1 wrong. I don't know how many fights were there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. So you went 9-2. I went 10-1. We absolutely murdered that one after doing so fucking bad.
Thank goodness.
Absolutely murdered that one. So what do you want to talk about first? Bellator 215? or UFC on ESPN 1? Which one do you want to do first, Slim?
There's really only...
Which one one is first? Is Bellator first?
Yeah, because it's Saturday. UFC is on Sunday. I guess we'll talk about Bellator.
Let's do some Bellator real quick.
All right. So...
Hold on. Let me just go ahead and give the preliminary cards, records, and shit. I'm not even going to get into anything. First fight, Billy Goff, 1-0, fighting Ryan Hardy, 0-0, making his pro MMA debut. This is all going to be the preliminary card. You can actually watch this on MMA Junkie at 6:30. What's up?
When I go on Bellator's website, it is not showing the MVP fight. Oh, that's Friday. Oh, there's a Friday and Saturday card. No shit. Okay. We got Bellator 2 days in a row, and then UFC on Sunday. That's sick. So Bellator 215 will be on Friday, and Bellator 216 will be on Saturday. That's the MVP daily fight.
Yeah. All right. Sick. We're starting on 215, though.
Okay.
Second fight, Zaruk Adashev, 1-1, going up against Roni Arana Leon, 0-1-0. Third fight, Matt Probin, 3-0, going up against Ali. Is that Ali? Yeah, Ali Zabayan, 1-0. Next fight, we have Jason Ryan, 1-4, going up against Pete Rogers, 3-4. What a stinker. Lindsey Van Zandt, like how like kids spell, like put DT, like I'm turnt.
What? You yes. Follow high schoolers on Twitter? Get out of here.
Shorty's name is like Paige Van Zandt, but with a D in front of the T.
All right.
4-1 going up against Tabitha Ann Watkins, 3-0. Jason Markland, hopefully not the one we went to high school with, going up against Pat McCrohan. Jason Markland is 0-0. Pat McCrohan is 3-2. Fuck off. Boy. Next fight, we have Amanda Bell, 5-5, going up against Amanda Laybrook, 3-2. And the featured preliminary card bout is going to be Darian Abbey making his MMA debut versus 5-0 Steve Mowry, which gets us into the main card, which is going to be on DAZN at 9 o'clock.
Yes, or on Paramount Network. The debut of Paige Van Zandt's husband, Austin Vanderfort.
Yeah.
6-0 going up against Cody Jones, 6-2.
Yeah, so we'll see if Vanderford can overcome all the just nonsense that people say about him and get the win.
He's a good fighter. I have confidence in him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's a great wrestler. I think he's going to get the win for sure. And then the next fight, we have John Duma, who's 3-1, going up against Mike Kimble. Next fight, Eduardo Dantas, 20-6, going up against Toby Misek.
Misech. It's a C-H. Sech.
Nah.
Misech.
Nah, I'm not feeling that one.
All right.
Be like Misek.
Maybe. Then we have Logan Storley going up against Aaron Pascu. Pascu.
Logan Storley actually went to this. He grew up in the same town as Brock Lesnar.
Oh.
Actually got to do a lot of
soda.
Yeah. Got to do a lot of work with Brock Lesnar. Even went to the University of Minnesota, just like Brock Lesnar, where he was a very successful wrestler.
Shit.
Now 9-0, going up against Ion Pascu, who just beat Lawrence Larkin in his last Bellator fight. So,
that's right.
Yeah, that'll be a really good co-main event there. Be on the lookout for that one, which brings us to the main event. We have Meathead Matt Mitrione, 13-6, after totally blowing Slim's chances in the heavyweight tournament, making his comeback against Sergey Kharitonov.
Former Bellator heavyweight champion.
Yeah, this is going to be a banger. Honestly, I think Kharitonov is going to win this one.
Yeah, I'm going to give it to him, too.
Yeah, unfortunately, I just...
Sorry, Meathead. I love you.
Meathead.
Meat.
Yeah, he just hasn't been doing the best lately. Hasn't looked good in his last couple fights. I don't think he's going to do it. Even when he beat Fedor, it just didn't look good.
Well, double knockdown.
Right.
Anyway. Bellator 216, it will be on Saturday. I don't want to talk about the prelims. First fight on the main card, we had Valeria Luerda going up against Colby Fletcher. Luerda is 2-1, Fletcher is 1-2. That's in flyweight, women's flyweight. Then we have Yaroslav Amosov. Is that how you say that?
Amosov.
Amosov. 20-0 Going up against former UFC welterweight Eric Silva.
Yeah, that'll be a banger.
I like that one. Then we have one of the longest winning streaks in Bellator history. Czech Congo going up against Vitaly Minnikov. I don't know much about Minnikov, but he's 20-0
Two 20-0 fighters going back to back.
That's wild. Then the main event, or the co-main event, I'm sorry, we have Mirko Krokop going up against Roy Nelson, the rematch.
Oh, that's going to be a great one to watch.
They fought 7 years ago, and Roy Nelson got the dub.
Krokop, one of my all-time faves. I hope he fucking pulls it off.
Ooh, we'll see. Then in the main event of the evening, the most anticipated fight that, oh God, I can't wait to see this. We have Michael Venom Page going up against Paul Daly for
this is,
the first round in the welterweight Grand Prix.
This is the biggest fight in the history of MMA in the United Kingdom.
For sure. And it's not being shown, or it's not
happening in the UK.
Yes.
It's happening in Connecticut.
Right.
But I heard that like the sales in the UK are just off the charts. I mean, everybody will be watching this in the UK. This is...
Yeah, Bellator just announced a new streaming platform that the UK has available to them that they can watch this fight. I'm not sure the name of it. It's not DAZN, though.
It was something crazy in the amount of people who bought it, though. I mean, everybody will be watching this fight. I mean,
you already know we got MVP.
Oh, absolutely. And, of course, MVP's father did just pass not too long ago. So he's got a heavy heart right now. And I think it's either going to bring the best out of him or, you know, it might get to him. But from what I've seen, he's extremely focused, and I think he's going to, you know, do it for Pops, bro. Michael Venom Page is the man.
Classic MVP we're going to see on display, I believe.
Especially going up against Paul Daly. I mean, they've had this bad blood for so long. Paul Daly just signed, I think it was, you know, a four-fight Bellator contract. This is his last chance to get a championship in MMA.
Right.
You know, going up against his biggest rival of all time, other than Josh Koscheck, of course. Dude, I hope Michael Venom Page goes out here and absolutely dominates.
He will. A lot of bad blood in the press conference and all that. Paul Daly wouldn't even look at him in the face-offs.
Yeah. It's going to be fireworks, I can guarantee that.
Can't wait.
So this is on Sunday, you say?
No, it's Saturday.
So one's on Friday, one's on Saturday.
And then UFC on Sunday.
Oh, wow.
Dude, jeez. That's a good weekend.
I don't have Paramount, though. Oh, I got Reddit.
Coming in clutch.
So, yeah, that is ANA MMA's take on Bellator 215 and Bellator 216.
Going on to the first UFC fight night on ESPN. Not ESPN Plus, just on regular cable.
Yeah. So, I mean, making a very much anticipated
How interesting debut. Is this? Cain Velasquez headlined the first ever UFC on Fox card.
Oh, wow.
And now he's headlining the first ever UFC on ESPN.
That's card. Awesome. I didn't know that.
Crazy.
Cool stats.
Quite a few years in difference, though. On to the first fight of the night. We have Alexandria Albu going up against Emily Whitmire.
Yeah.
Bro.
So,
Albu's going to tear her apart.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Quick call.
Slim with the quick call, going with Alexandria Albu, which I will also... Oh, yeah, I know. I've seen her.
Beefy.
Emily Whitmire, right now, 1-1 in the UFC. Her last fight, she did get a win over Jamie Moyle, going up against the unbeaten Alexandria Albu, who literally fights every 2 years. She fought in 2013, 2015, 2017, and now it's going to be 2019.
Wow.
What a weird trend.
7-0.
No. Right now, she's 3-0.
Okay, this thing is fucked up then. All right.
Where does it have that she is? Let me
on
see
the
it.
UFC's main page.
Bruh, they're big, fat, dumb tripping. Like, you can't find that anywhere but on the UFC's page.
Yeah, the UFC.
Like, they're literally adding fights. What are you guys doing? Please hire me to do
this. They said she's on a 7-fight win streak, 4 by knockout, 2 by submission.
What?
So that means 1 by decision?
Do they have names of these people?
I don't know, man.
Bro, UFC, I will literally do your guys' website for half of whatever the dude you guys have doing it is. Like, right now. Call me right now.
Right.
So serious. Jesus. Okay.
ANA MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with Alexandra Albu.
This next fight's pretty interesting. Henan Barao, former bantamweight champion, all the way down to the prelims. Going against Cool Hand Luke Sanders. I mean, I don't know about this one.
So, just a disclaimer, this is actually going to be the fight after. This is going to be the... The next one's Jessica Penne and Joni Esquivel.
All right, well.
So, let's do that one. Women's strawweight division. Jessica Penne going up against Jodi Esquivel. Of course, Jodi Esquivel not doing too hot in her UFC career. 0-2. But she did fight Carolina, and then she fought Jessica Aguilar. Those are two really hard fights.
True.
Going up against Jessica Penne, you know, once thought to be like the next big thing coming up, been struggling as of late. Lost her last three fights against Danielle Taylor, Jessica Andrade TKO'd her, Joanna TKO'd her for the strawweight championship. But before that, she, you know, won her UFC debut versus Randa Markos by split decision. This is really a hard one to call. We got a 1-3 UFC fighter going up against a 0-2 UFC fighter in terms of their UFC careers. I think Jessica Penne is going to have just a little bit more to go ahead and squeak out this win.
I'll pick the same.
ANA MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with Jessica Penne in this one.
All right. The aforementioned fight. Henan Barao going up against Cool Hand Luke Sanders. Man, this is another tough one to call. Cool Hand Luke coming off the loss against Rani Yahya. He won against Williams and he lost against Sukamthas. He's been on a win-loss lately, and I think he's due for a win.
Yeah, going up against Henan Do Nascimento Mota Picato, better known as Henan Barao.
Excuse me? Did you just make that up?
No, that was all real.
What the fuck? That the Baron.
I just gave my dude's government to the world.
Oh, yeah. Don't tell mine.
So, Henan Barao in his last eight fights, 2-6, definitely been struggling, man. But he's only fought the best of the best.
Right.
Two of those losses are TJ Dillashaw, one to Jeremy Stephens. He fought Aljamain Sterling. He fought Brian Kelleher. His last loss was a split decision to Andre Yule. Again, a tale of two struggling fighters making a go at it here in the UFC. Kind of makes me feel like these last two fights, maybe even the third one, too, maybe even the one before that, maybe all three of these early preliminary card fights have people's UFC careers on the line.
I could
see any of these fighters being cut if they lose.
I could agree with that.
So that makes it really interesting to watch for me.
However, I am going to go with Cool Hand Sanders on this one.
Ooh, wow. We have our first disagreement of the night.
Nice.
I am going to go with Henan Barao. Slim is going to go with Cool Hand Luke Sanders.
On to the prelims on ESPN. This next one's really interesting. We got Hot Sauce. How hot is he? Scott Holtzman going up against Nick Lentz.
Yeah, this is going to be a really interesting fight, of course.
His nickname is the Canary.
What? When did they have that?
Nick the Canary Lentz.
Stop that.
Nice.
Stop that. So the 35-year-old Scott Holtzman, of course, very successful so far in the UFC. He has three wins in a row right now. He defeated Alan Patric, Daryl Horcher. His only two losses are to Drew Dober and Josh Emmett, but I mean, dude, he's 5-2 in his UFC career. I'm sorry. Yeah, he's 5-2 in his UFC career. I mean, he gets it done, man. He's a very confident dude, and he goes out there and he displays it.
Mm.
Going up against somebody who's been through the ringer, though.
Literally.
Nick Lentz. Somebody who's been here since UFC 103.
He's fought Charles Oliveira. He just came off a nice win against Gray Maynard.
Yeah, I mean, Chad Mendez. I mean, dude. Islam Makhachev, David Tamer, he's fought a lot of great fighters, just beat Gray Maynard at UFC 229 with a head kick. Oh, wow. This is going to be a good one.
I think I'm going to take Hot Sauce, though.
ANA MMA going to agree on this one, but we're both going with Scott Hot Sauce Holtzman.
In the next fight, we have Ashley Evans-Smith going up against KGB, my training coach husband, might be a racist. Lee
is super racist.
Yeah.
If you weren't gonna say it, I was gonna say it. I hey, mean, my
you
God,
do what you gotta do in prison, I guess. But
oh God,
bro, Chance has been telling me some wild prison stories, like wild shit. This one.
First
dude,
off, when did Chance go to prison?
Chance has been working in the Mansfield repository. Repository. Is that the right word?
Reformatory. Suppository?
Reformatory.
You mean suppository?
No. He's he's been he's doing tile setting in the bathrooms. They're redoing all their bathrooms. And, you know, the guards will tell him all these crazy stories. So basically,
I'd be like, shut the fuck up.
They had this one HVAC guy who like popped open the vent in the ceiling, and out came all these honey bun wrappers. So honey buns. And this was in the bathroom, in the shower. Yeah, honey buns are currency
right.
In there. And the dude, I guess, was like, what is all this? And she was like, honey bun wrappers. He goes, why are they in the bathroom? And she was like, it's currency. He goes, what are they buying? And she was like,
sex. But sex.
But. Dude, he said this one guy, they let him out of his cell, and he was like kind of walking around. And he
stabbed Chance in his throat?
No, but they've been looking at him because he got the hair. But this, he said this dude, he says he keeps it like tied up.
Oh no.
But he said this dude literally like levitated down the stairs. And then every step he took, he would clap. Every single step, he would shake his ass. And they were all just like, no.
While levitating.
Yeah. And he like called him out like, hey boys.
Oh wow.
He's been telling me some wild shit. There's this one dude in there who was supposed to go to, I think he was going to play for the NFL. I don't remember his name. But then, like, on the night of his signing, he went out with some buddies and they killed someone.
Oh, that sounds cool.
And he's in there for life.
Oh, was it Aaron Hernandez?
Might have been.
Yeah. I think he... Did he hang himself in a cell in Boston?
He's still alive. He's in there.
I'm just joshing you.
Okay. Son. Well, you would know who it is better than me. I don't think Chance even knows the dude's name. But yeah, he's been telling me crazy prison stories. So I can only imagine what goes on in there. Anyway.
Number 12, Ashley Evan Smith going up against number 14, Andrea, my husband is a racist, Lee.
the KGB. The ex-KGB. what do we got on Andrea Lee? Andrea Lee has been very dominant in her UFC career so far. She is... Oh, she's only... Well, she's only 1-0, but... Sorry. Shut up. Go play Pokemon. What do you got on Evan Smith?
Oh my God, bro. Ashley, Evan Smith got that victory over Beck Rawlings last time we saw her out, UFC 223. Before that, she had two tough losses in a row to Sarah Cupcake Moras and Ketlin Vieira, but got her back on track. And honestly, I think it's going to go back off track.
Oh,
see what I did there.
I'm picking the KGB agent.
A&A MMA going with Andrea KGB Lee.
Ex-KGB.
That's X, sir.
Ex-KGB.
I was exiled.
Anyway, on to the next Serbia. Fight. We have the golden boy, Benito Lopez, going up against undefeated Bermudez Triangle, Manny Bermudez.
These are two unbeaten fighters. We have 9-0 going up against 13-0.
Bro, I cannot wait for this. Oh my God, this is a good fight.
We have 10 submissions. One knockout, two decisions, Manny Bermudez going up against the knockout artist, three knockouts, Benito Lopez, who gets it done in the first round. I mean, oh, it's going to be fireworks.
Dude, I got to take the Bermuda Triangle, though.
A&A MMA going with the Bermudez Triangle in this one.
God, stop picking my picks.
No, because every time I pick, you pick mine. So.
All right, well, now that's why I'm going first this time. Anyway, on to the next fight. This is a banger.
Yeah, in the bantamweight division.
Number five, Jimmy Rivera, going up against the Funk Master. Number 7, Aljamain Sterling.
Woo!
Apparently, there's some bad blood between these guys.
What? I didn't see that.
So, it was either in World Series of Fighting or King of the Cage, one or the other, but they both were champion at one time.
Ooh.
Aljamain came to the UFC first, and then Jimmy Rivera followed, but back in... I think it was World Series of Fighting. Jimmy always said that he would beat Aljamain.
Oh.
And then Aljamain moved over, and Jimmy said, I'll still beat you.
A long time beef.
A long time beef. And now here they are, settling the beef.
I like that.
Jimmy Rivera, couple hard losses recently.
Just one.
What was he 20-1?
Yep. Remember he was on like a
20. Oh yeah, he lost against Marais and then he beat Dotson. Yeah, yeah, it was a 20 fight win streak, not a 21 fight win streak. Anyway, Rivera coming off that win against Dotson and Aljamain Sterling. Who did he last fight? It was Cody Stamann.
Yeah,
and he also beat Brett Johns before that.
Yeah, after that scary knockout to Marlon Moraes.
Both fighters really, getting knocked out by Marlon Moraes.
He really got, both of these guys got it back on track. So right.
I am going to take the Fung Master, though.
Ooh, finally we have a disagreement. Slim, going with the Fung Master, Aljamain Sterling. I think Jimmy Rivera is going to get this one.
All right.
Can't wait.
Nice. On to the main card. We got Touchy Feely going up against Miles Fury Jury.
Good, good. Can't wait.
Good, great, awesome. All right, on to the next one.
good one, Slim.
Touchy Feely is the alpha male fighter who is coming off a loss against Michael Johnson, but he also beat Dennis Bermudez and Artem Lobov right before that.
Yeah, going up against Miles Jury, who just lost to Chad Mendez when he made his comeback fight via TKO. Before that, though, he had beaten Rick Glenn, Mike De La Torre. I mean, he's fought a lot of the greats, dude. He's fought Takanori Gomi. He's fought Donald Cerrone, Charles Oliveira, Diego Sanchez. I mean, Michael Johnson. He's seen a lot of these UFC fighters. I mean, he started out 15-0 with so much hype behind him, bro. And Donald Cerrone hit him with that combo, and he hasn't been the same since.
No. You know what? I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to take Touchy Feely.
Oh, my gosh. We have another disagreement. Slim going with Andre Touchy Feely in this one. I think Miles Jury is going to get back on track again.
Nice.
He only loses against the best, so not saying I don't think Andre Feely doesn't have great potential. I just
don't think
he's at that level right now where he's like Donald Cerrone or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Anyway, on to the next fight.
One's going to be... This is my fight of the night.
This is
my sleeper fight of the night.
Yeah, this is going to be scary.
Let me turn this light on some.
Yeah, good. We have Vicente Luque going up against Bam Bam Brian Barberino. Where's he been? He's been out.
Sorry.
He's been out for a minute.
I'm back.
Okay.
But yeah, Brian... Let me put my headphones on.
Brian Bam Bam. Bam, bam.
Yeah, last time we saw him, he had that TKO victory over Jake Ellenberger. That's when Gaethje and James Vick fought.
That's right. That was back in August. The only fighter to this day to hold a win over Colby Covington.
Mm-hmm.
And Vicente Luque, dude, only one loss in the UFC.
Yeah.
And it was against Leon Edwards, who's like at the top right now.
Yeah, both of these, I believe both of these guys have losses to Leon Edwards. Let me check on that. Yeah, both of them have lost to Leon Edwards. Where's he been?
He's fighting Gunnar Nelson.
Leon Edwards is?
Yeah, when Jorge Masvidal fights Aaron Till.
Oh, okay. That's so he's coming up. Every time we're always like, where's he been? They like end up fighting like within the next right. like 3 weeks.
The funny thing was, did you watch the press conference for that?
No. Nah.
So it was in London, and so it was Darren Till versus Jorge.
Right.
Jorge Masvidal just kind of sitting there like, all right, is anyone going to ask me a question? No, okay, I'm just chilling then. Darren Till and Leon Edwards were going at it. And they're not even fighting each other. So Gunnar Nelson then also was just kind of sitting there like, okay. That should have been the main event. Two Brits going at it with a little bit of bad blood?
That would have been cool.
Jorge wasn't saying anything. He was just, oh, I'm going to get in there and fight.
What if Dana's like, you know what, fuck it. You two fight and then you two fight.
Gunny and Jorge is a great fight.
Yeah.
However, yeah, it just seems like a mismatch. Because they could have had that great beef, that great fucking sellout card.
Yeah.
But instead we have just like a really good fight against a really good fight. Could have been a banger against a really good fight. You know, I don't know. Anyway.
I feel it.
So, I am going to take Vicente Luque in this one.
A&A MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with Vicente Luque in this one.
And then next fight, we have the debut of Cron Gracie. Going up against Bruce Leroy, Alex Caceres.
It's been a minute since we've seen a Gracie brother in the UFC.
What's his record right now in MMA?
4-0. I just didn't want to say that without actually checking that, and I did, and I was...
I thought it was like 6 or 7, but I might be wrong.
That is correct. He's 4-0.
Nice. Okay, going up against Bruce Leroy in the 145-pound division.
Alex Caceres, man, I mean...
He's seen it all.
Absolutely, dude, listen to these people that this man has fought.
He beat Sergio Pettis. He fought Uriah Faber in his prime. Francisco Rivera, Cole Miller, Yair Rodriguez, Jason Knight. I mean, dude, he's fought a lot of great fighters, and he's great on the ground. He has really good stand-up. Ah, this one's a lot tougher than what people are thinking it is.
It is. Alex is the total experience factor in this, but I am going to take the newcomer, Cron Gracie.
ANA MMA going to agree on this one. We're going with Cron Gracie, and his lineage. So, of course, all BJJ and grappling, pretty much in general, comes from Mitsuyo Count Koma Maeda.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What is that?
He is, like, the one who invented, like, judo and, like, jiu-jitsu and all that.
What?
Actually, I think he was a judo black belt.
The godfather of martial arts?
Literally, he invented jiu-jitsu.
I've never heard of that.
And he's Japanese. I bet you didn't know that.
I did not know that.
So he taught it to Carlos Gracie.
Huh.
Who taught it to Helio Gracie, who, of course, had the sons Hickson and Hoyce and the other ones.
Okay.
And then Hickson, the biggest, baddest of all the Gracie brothers,
right,
had Cron.
Okay.
So that's the lineage of Cron Gracie, and nice. I'm really excited to see him get in here, bro. It's been a long time since we've seen a Gracie in
especially
here.
Especially in the UFC.
And he's unbeaten. I mean, he's an ADCC submission wrestling champion, world jiu-jitsu championship, second place. I mean,
yeah, the only other Gracie you see about or hear about is the one in Bellator right now, who's, I believe, he's in the tournament.
Yeah.
Hickson. What's his name? It starts with an R, I think. Anyway.
It does.
Yeah, so Cron Gracie making his debut, and we're going with him.
ANA MMA going to agree with this one.
Side note. I went into a YouTube rabbit hole at work the other day. I was just on my lunch, just chilling at my desk, watching random videos. And I found a 20-minute long video about Zabit.
Nice.
And how he got his combat experience. And basically, his instructor, master, whatever you want to call him, started in Moscow. And to summarize it, at an early life, his mom had him and a brother. But life was hard back then. She didn't have enough milk to provide for both of them.
Right.
So, and he had some heart problems. So the doctors pretty much told her, yeah, he's going to die. So she just sat him outside in a graveyard and left him there.
Right.
Her brother found him, like, dude's uncle, found him, brought him inside, beat the shit out of the mom, and said, you will feed him now. And he grew up in Moscow, where mixed martial arts was eventually outlawed. So he moved to Dagestan and started this fucking martial arts training camp early Western martial arts.
That's wild, because I heard some totally different shit.
Yeah.
I heard Zabit.
No. This is way before Zabit. I'm talking about one of his instructors.
Oh!
That wasn't Zabit that happened to.
My bad.
This is Zabit's instructor. Started this Dagestani shit.
I missed that.
Yeah.
My bad.
Yeah. That's the dude who founded one of Dagestan's modern mixed martial arts gyms.
Okay. Yo, that's wild, fam.
Yeah.
Cool story, Slim. Sorry, crazy. I almost ruined it there.
No, you're fine.
You
ruin everything.
So I wanted to, and I might have this a little bit wrong. I was reading this. I don't know why I never told this story. I was reading it a while ago, but So Zabit, as a child, he was actually given to his parents, like, gave him to a, basically a martial arts school.
Whoa. That might be the same. I didn't finish the video, but it might be the same school.
As a child, and it was basically, like, he said it was like a prison for children to go and fight. And it was like a wushu academy, and it was like full combat karate.
Wow.
And I mean, it was literally, Zabit compared it to a prison. It was literally, you wake up and you have to fight 3 times a day, like every single day, full force fighting.
Wow.
And he became the champion of that entire school.
Holy shit.
Yeah, and I mean, this is crazy. I mean, he went on to like start training with one of the greatest wrestling coaches in Dagestani history. And then, of course, Mark Henry.
What a dog.
Got him. The rest is... He literally went to a fighting school as a little baby child.
A little baby child?
My man grew up, like, he was bred to fight.
He was bred to be the greatest.
Yeah, and who was it? Who trains Frankie? Is it Mark Henry or Henry?
Yeah.
He basically said that this is the first ever time he's seen a complete mixed martial artist just know and do good at everything.
Yeah, I mean,
some people are wrestlers that come up, some people are boxers that come up, Muay Thai, Jiu Jitsu, you name
it. You can't say
this is the first guy. This is the first complete bred MMA fighter.
Right.
So I think he's going to be the champ. Anyway, all right. I can't wait. So, side note. All right. Back to the main card. We have cast iron. I cooked on a cast iron skillet today. Ooh. Courtney Casey going up against Cynthia Covey. What if that's what it was, her name was?
Just that one.
Courtney, I cooked on a cast iron skillet today. Casey.
Going up against number 11, Cynthia Calvillo. Courtney Ooh. Casey is number 12 herself. So.
Yeah, dude, this is going to be a banger. Courtney yeah, Casey, 8-6. Calvillo, 7-1. Taking her first loss recently. It wasn't that long ago, I feel. It was against...
Yeah, it was against Carla Esparza. That was a unanimous decision victory back at Cyborg versus Holm. But, of course, she got back on track versus Poliana Baltalia when she got that rear naked choke in the first round.
Right.
So this is gonna be a hard one again. All these fights are really, really close. I mean, right. If you look at
that's
the odds,
that's a pick 'em, honestly.
Yeah, if you look at the odds, I mean, there's not a lot of favorable fights.
Who is the favorite on the card, according to the odds metric you use?
I haven't even been using it.
No. I would have a feeling it's gonna be.
Give me one moment. I'll give all.
Well, I just want to know, like,
no, the... shut the fuck up. I'm gonna give all of them.
Okay.
Eat my ass.
Spread them.
I told you you have a gaping butt today.
Yeah. Monty asked me to boof a 40. I said, how big do you think my butthole is? He said, gaping.
I said, rated gaping. Alexandra Albu is the favorite. Minus 125 plus 105 for Emily Whitmire. Luke Sanders is actually the favorite right now. Minus 180. You can get Henan Barao at plus 150. Jessica Penne coming in at minus 145 over Jody Escobel, who you can get at plus 125. Scott Saltzman, you can get him at under 180. Nick Lentz is going for plus 150. Andrea KGB Lee currently sitting at under 170. Ashley Evans Smith, the underdog, at plus 145. Manny Bermudez currently the favorite at 195 under. Benito Lopez clocking in at plus 165. Jimmy Rivera the favorite, minus 145 for him. Aljamain Sterling plus 125. I mean, these are all
super close.
Stupid. This is stupid. That's how close all of
them
are.
Barely even any money you're going
to
win.
Miles Jerry coming in at minus 150 over Andre Feely at plus 130. Vicente Luque, the biggest favorite on the card by far, honestly, at minus 420.
Whew.
And you can get Brian Barberina at plus 320.
Nice.
Second biggest favorite on the card, Cron Gracie at minus 320. You can get Alex Caceres for plus 260. I think that should be a lot closer, honestly.
Yeah, true.
Cynthia Calvillo, currently the favorite at minus 315, third biggest favorite on the card. Courtney Casey is a plus 255 underdog, which brings us to the co-main event.
We didn't even make our picks for this one.
Oh, sorry.
But I'm picking Calvillo.
Yeah, A&AMMA going with Cynthia Calvillo in this one.
On to the co-main event. Oh, God, I can't wait for this fight. Paul, the Irish Dragon Felder, going up against the Texecutioner, James Vick. We haven't seen Vick since he got brutally KO'd by Justin Gaethje after talking all that shit.
Oof.
He has not been talking all that shit in this fight. Paul Felder, though, he is coming off, I believe,
his loss. Mike Perry,
yeah. Yeah, loss against Mike Perry. But he had that great win against
Charles Oliveira.
Charles Oliveira.
He beat Stevie Ray.
Right. And then one before that.
He beat Alessandro Ricci.
Yeah.
All by knockout, too. I mean, vicious knockouts.
Bro, it's Paul Felder all the way, boy. Commentator, excellent fighter, everything. He's got the whole package.
I'm going to disagree on this one, Slim.
What?
I think the Texecutioner is going to get right back on track, man.
No way.
Now, he does struggle against big punchers, but, I mean, I don't know, man.
He's too big. He needs to go up.
Paul Felder
in my opinion, only has one really big win under his belt, which is Charles Oliveira.
Dude, he's got knockout highlight reels.
True, true, definitely. But he's also lost to the likes of Francisco Trinaldo, Mike Perry, Ross Pearson, Edson Barboza.
He broke his arm in the Perry
fight. I know, but when it's these bigger fights, he tends to not do as well. And of course, he just moved up to welterweight.
No.
His last
he only did because short notice stepping in for Perry.
Oh, so he's not, this is that lightweight. Yeah. Okay. But I think James Vick is, he's much bigger.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He's too big. The reason he got so fucking clobbered last time is because he drained himself. He, you know.
I'm going with James Vick in this one.
Paul Felder, boy.
ANA, MMA, going to disagree on this one. I'm going with James, the executioner, Vick. And Slim's going with Paul, the Irish Dragon.
And the odds on that one?
Right now, James Vick is the -120 favorite. You can get Paul Felder for +100. That's like the closest one on the card, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Nice. On to the main event of the evening. As I mentioned, Cain Velasquez headlining the first ever card on ESPN, the television show, not the app. Going up against Francis Ngannou,
the number three contender.
Obviously, they know Cain's going to be right back in there. Francis coming off that win against Curtis Blaze by devastating knockout. Mm-hmm. Man,
this is a really tough one to call.
So, Chael Sonnen, I was listening to him like literally right before I came here. He has a good point. Cain Velasquez is stubborn. Cain Velasquez, even though he knows he can take you down and out grapple you, he will choose to just box with you.
Right.
Stand up. Just play around with you. Just have fun in there. He did it with Junior Dos Santos. He got knocked out brutally in the very first fight, which was actually the first fight on Fox, as I mentioned. And in the two fights that followed with Junior Dos Santos, he boxed with him the whole time. You know, he knows he has that wrestling and he's not afraid. He's almost like a Justin Gaethje. Earlier fights in Cain's career, he would take him down, he would beat him up, he would ground and pound him out. It was great. You knew what he was going to do, and he always got it done. Right. Same thing when he got the belt, when he beat up Brock. He got away from the takedown, he took Brock down, he pounded him out, got it done. I hope that he gets back to that same technique in this fight, because you do not want to stand with Francis Ngannou, even for a second.
No.
We've seen what happened with Curtis Blaydes. I thought Curtis Blaydes was going to take him down and absolutely destroy Ngannou on the ground.
Got touched once.
30 seconds, all it took.
Yeah.
You get touched, you're down. You're going down.
Yeah.
So, hopefully this layoff has been good for Cain. I hope he's got all his injuries rehabbed and nursed up and all that. And I think he's going to get this done against Ngannou. And prove that he's right back there in the top. And early prediction, Cain will fight Stipe on the same card that Cormier fights Lesnar.
Oh, wow.
And if Cormier wins, he's going to retire. If Cain wins, he's going to go up there and get the belt.
Mm. Damn. That's big. Mm-hmm. Big prediction,
mm-hmm.
Slim.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I am going to agree with you on this one. I'm also going to go with Cain Velasquez in the main event.
Nice. Isn't that wild that barely a year ago, we were all picking Francis to just be a world beater?
Right. And then
and now we're like, well, you know, he's got some holes.
Yeah, well, Stipe
exposed him.
Yeah, showed the world how to stop Francis Ngannou.
Right, so that's our picks for UFC on Sunday. This is the first Sunday card they've had in 2019 so far. I'm kind of excited for it. I get off at 7. I'm going to go home, kick back, and watch these. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, dude. MMA all fucking weekend, tomorrow.
All fucking weekend. I got to work all weekend, but I'll be able to watch at least the main events on all of them.
I'm not missing one fight all weekend.
Yeah, I probably will. At least the Bellator ones. I'm just going to watch the main event. Anyway, a little bit of news. Daniel Cormier, whose birthday is at the end of March, postponed his set retirement date.
Oh, didn't see that one coming. Wow.
No. Come on. He said basically his plan is to either fight Brock or Stipe,
mm-hmm.
or fight Brock, then Stipe, then maybe go back down to 205 and fight Jones.
Oh, wow. Shit.
That's insane for a 40-year-old to do. But he's on the top of his game. And he knows it. And he knows he doesn't have to retire, which is wild because for the last 2-3 years, he's been saying, 40, I'm done.
Hmm.
But his injuries kind of held him back, and now he's postponing the retirement date. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Definitely. I saw that coming from my
head. Everyone did. Not everyone knew he wouldn't retire.
In other news, Slim said a funny little name earlier in this episode.
Oh?
Artem Lobov.
Yeah.
So, of course, he decided to leave the UFC or got cut. Who knows what truly happened. But he has now signed a 3-fight, 6-figure deal.
Jesus Christ.
With Bare Knuckle FC.
I mean, he's the GOAT.
Yeah, I mean, his debut is actually going to be against former UFC fighter Jason Knight.
Yeah.
And that's going to be on 420. He also gets pay-per-view points. And the deal also allows him to sign with an MMA promotion as well. This is all via Ariel Helwani's official Twitter
account. Did you see who else is on that card?
No.
It was like some former fighters that haven't fought in a long time.
Just a bunch of them, huh?
Hang on. Let me look up this card real quick.
Oh, a bunch of them, huh?
Oh, just a whole lot of them, huh? It was like, I know Joey Beltran's on one, but he's going up against someone. Oh, look at that. What are you talking when you type in Bare Knuckle Boxing on their website, Artem Lobov covers up the entire screen, and it says he's debuting in April of 2019. That's amazing. Oh, and then the link is to MMAfighting.com. What the hell?
That's hilarious.
What is this? Okay. Let me find this card real quick. By the way, Beck Rawlings continues to absolutely dominate in this.
Really?
Dude, she's on a 3-fight win streak and is the current champ.
That's cool.
Yeah. Good for her. Hang on. Let me find this event. Oh, fucking the GOAT. The GOAT. This is in Mexico. not that event. This is just this event.
I'm cracking up. Did you see this shit that the UFC got Ben Askren on?
Yeah. They posted like the blackout. He's like, well, can you fix that? And he posted just the hair. Bro. That was the funniest shit. Go to Ben Askren's Twitter.
Why did they get him like that?
Chris Lights Out Lytle.
Oh! He's fought there before, though.
I did not know that. Yeah, until I seen him on the card.
I'm thinking, I think Chris Lieben fought there.
Yeah. But Chris Lytle, he was a firefighter who fought at 170, and he was a dog, and he retired from the UFC. It's crazy to see him back in competition, but apparently he's been winning. Kendall the Spider Grove?
Hell yeah, I remember him.
The 6'6", 185 pounder?
Wild.
He's apparently doing work. Michael McDonald is in this? Just crazy shit.
Apparently, Francis Ngannou said he's well prepared to wrestle with Cain Velasquez.
Bet.
Big bet.
Bet. How much money you got on that? You going to put $1,000 on my vacation, Cain? Or, Francis?
George St. Pierre's former kickboxing coach, Victor Vargotsky, is wanted for his role in the Quebec cell of a vast international money laundering network.
Whoa.
George. Why are you messing
George's? With Brooks? Oh, the other dude. I thought you said George was...
George.
George. Stay away from the bad guys.
Georgie.
What?
Yeah, come here, Georgie.
Saw? Or not Saw.
Chucky?
What's the clown movie?
Chucky?
No.
It?
It, yeah.
I never seen it.
Georgie!
Whatever,
you
man.
Sound like Bubbles' hand puppet. What was his name?
I don't remember.
Conky. Get Conky the fuck out of here, Bubbles!
That shit's fucking hilarious.
Oh, man. My God. Yeah, that's
I love you, Slim. Happy Valentine's Day.
I love you, too. Let's go have sex.
Okay.
yeah, that's all the news I got, really. Nothing crazy huge. Oh, it was either... Who was it? It was either Nick or Nate Diaz. One of them said, hey, I don't really want to fight right now. I just want to party.
Fuck yeah. I love that.
I don't remember which one. Probably both of them, to be honest. But yeah, they've been getting called out. Anderson called out Nick... Connor called out Nate, said they'll both fight on the same card, and they both kind of said, like, nah, dude, I'm just trying to party, bro.
Yeah, they don't want to get beat up. Oh, I'm talking wild on the Diaz brothers. Wow. No. Yeah, they are probably just having fun kicking it.
Hell yeah. They're smoking a bunch of weed, doing triathlons and shit.
Hell yeah, dude.
That's all I got. Oh, Midwest Melting Pot 3 coming up.
Oh, yeah.
March 8th and 9th. Jesus Christ, this lineup. You better be there.
Oh, I'm going to be there.
Lineup is ridiculous, bro. We got bands from Columbus. We got bands from Cleveland. Jeez. Bands from Sullen, Akron, all that. Rappers from Pine City coming out.
Okay, you're just making cities up.
That's H Money's hometown.
Oh, nice.
Pine City. Yeah, man. Yeah. That's all I got going on in my life.
That'll be fun. I can't wait for that.
Yeah. I still got to try to get off work. If not, I'm going to call off. Whatever. All right.
Paint me like one of your French podcasters, Slim.
French Canadians. I think he's a very talented fighter. All right. We're out of here, y'all. We'll be back on, like, I don't know, Monday or Tuesday?
Sunday?
Fights are Sunday. You're going... Yeah, fights are Sunday. Not recording what fights are going on, man. We gotta watch the fights, man.
Yeah, Monday or Tuesday.
Monday or Tuesday, we'll be back. Sorry for the sporadic schedule to all our listeners that have, you know, stuck with us through all this. You know, life hits you hard and it comes at you fast, but we're still trying to give you the great content that we try to deliver. And is that a Slim Jim?
It's a monster Tabasco Slim Jim.
Oh, my God. All right. So, before Monty starts munching in the mic, we're going to get out of here. Love you guys. I hope you have a good Valentine's Day with your Valentine. And bye.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.